All right. Well, today we're in the final week of our series called Mission Possible. And I hope you've enjoyed these clips. And I love that part where he says, this is your mission, should you choose to accept it. We're talking about what that looks like to accept the mission of God. What that looks like in our lives to be a part, really to partner with the mission that God is already doing in the world. To spread his love and power, but also to invite people into a growing relationship with him. In fact, one of the things that we've been talking about is how you can be on mission with God every single day, right in your sphere of influence, right where you are. In fact, God's mission in the world, he says it in a lot of different ways. One of the ways that Jesus says it is this: he came to seek and to save the lost. That's part of God's mission, is to seek and save the lost. Another way he says it is in the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, when he says, go therefore and make disciples. And so the mission of God is to not only seek and to save the lost, but to grow every single person into faithful followers and devoted followers of him. And God, in order for God to accomplish that mission in the world, he chooses people like you and me, and he invites us to be part of that mission. And so we've been talking about a lot of different ways that you can do that. And the thing that we started off this series by talking about is this, that God has more invested in your life, in your ministry, and in the people in your sphere of influence than even you do. God has been working in your life and in the lives of so many people and everybody in your sphere of influence, and he has more invested in your ministry than you do. In fact, one of the things that we've realized is that God is already at work in the heart and life of every single person. So when we go on a mission trip somewhere, it's not that we're bringing people to this remote place in Africa where they've never heard of the name of Jesus. It doesn't mean we're bringing Jesus to them. It means that God has already been at work through the Holy Spirit in the hearts and lives of every person. And our job is to simply show up, pay attention, and to point people to the Jesus that's already been at work. That's how big God is. Even with people who don't know who God is, God's at work in their life. So that means for us, our job is to show up and pay attention in our spheres of influence. And so being on mission with God, as we talk about that, it's not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for the spiritual elite. What really the invitation is this: Jesus showed us really, really well with who he invited and who he called and who he sent. Remember who Jesus sent into the world and gave them the Great Commission? Here's what I want you to do. He told this to to 12 crummy disciples who oftentimes fell short, who oftentimes doubted him, who were the not good enoughs in so many different ways. He called these not good enoughs and he says, now it's your turn. Now the mission's in your hands. And essentially this, he says, go and make disciples of all nations. And he sent them out. And here's what it reminds us in our lives. It reminds us that as God tells us to invite and to share and to make disciples, that the message of Jesus isn't dependent on the quality of the messenger. Thanks be to God, you know? God can work through a whole lot of different ways and a whole lot of different people. It's not dependent on the quality of the messengers like us. In fact, what it's dependent on is God working through his messengers and his messengers going out and continuing to share the good news about who he is. There's a lot of different ways to do this. If you missed any of our previous weeks, we've talked about a lot of different ones. Sometimes it means simply sharing your faith story with people. I was hearing, Sherry was sharing with me this past week about somebody that she'd been going through a lot of stuff. And somebody says, how in the world have you been able to have so much joy in your life? And when all the stuff that you've been through, how in the world have you been able to make it? And she simply said, shared her faith journey. She simply said, you know, this might sound crazy, but really God's the way. That God's been the one that's pulled me through all this. And that might sound crazy. No, it doesn't. Because this person saw God working in her life, and it was a tangible reminder of how God can be at work in their life. Sometimes your faith story. Another way that you can be on mission with God is to simply serve people right where they are. To meet people's needs and to show them who Jesus is by the way you serve. Sometimes it means just being a great friend to somebody, investing in somebody's life, and just being a spirit-filled presence in their life that helps to point them to Jesus. But oftentimes, being on mission with God can be the most simple thing. Sometimes it means simply going to where people are and inviting them to come and see Jesus. Maybe it's coming to church so that they can see Jesus. Or maybe it's, hey, here's what God's doing in my life. Maybe he can do the same thing in yours. Come and see. Inviting people to come and see. And so I want to be really transparent with you as we're kind of, this is the fifth week of our series. I want to be transparent with, why are we doing this series? What is this whole thing about besides the Great Commission and what God's calling us to do? It's because I believe that this church, that God wants to use us in a much bigger way than he's ever used us before. And what I hope and what I have been praying that will happen at the end of the series, not just series, but what will happen is that you will be encouraged and strengthened and challenged to go out and invest in people's lives and to invite people to come and see. That's the main thing that I want you to get from this. Invest in people's lives and to invite them to come and see. See, I believe that we as a church are on the cusp of another season of not just growth as a church, but of influence. I've seen that and I've felt that, and we've been praying for that and preparing for that. But the reality is, I really feel like God we're on the cusp of another opportunity to impact this community in a much greater way. And the reality is, if you were here last week, I shared with you about this funny tension that's in play that God really placed when we serve. And the same thing is true when any kind of greater impact happens in growth or whatever. And so here's what it is. The tension is this. On the one hand, we have to depend on God. We have to depend on God to do what only God can do. I mean, we have to depend on his power to enable us to do things and to impact people's lives. I can't impact anybody's life for Jesus. I can't grow anybody closer to Jesus by myself. I need God's power, and so do you. In fact, we need God to put the pieces together, to connect people to him, to grow people closer to him, and to prompt people's hearts to respond. But at the same time, we don't just sit back and wait for God to do everything without us. It's this strange tension. God wants to use us. In fact, people don't just show up. People don't just get connected to God. They don't just grow closer to Christ without our involvement in helping them to do that. And so this crazy tension's at place where every growth season and every time you serve, it happens. When God has to do his part, and we have to also step out and do our part by praying together, inviting together, and preparing together for the harvest season to come. And so my goal in this series is really that you would be prompted to respond to the mission. And that each of us would be unleashed into our spheres of influence to invite, to invest, and to help grow people closer to Jesus. And so what I want to do today, I'm going to give you a really clear opportunity of how you can be on mission and where this whole thing is going, because it's a springboard for something we're going to be doing even later. I'll tell you more about that at the end of the message. But if you have your Bibles today, we're going to look at Luke chapter 10. And if you don't have your Bible or smartphone, the words is also going to be on the screen. But Luke chapter 10, here's what we're going to be talking about is Jesus. We're going to look at how Jesus didn't go around and start impacting everybody's life all by himself. What did he do? He unleashed his disciples to invest, to invite, and what happened is they experienced multiplication of an impact. And so if it was good enough for Jesus, this is a good model for us. And so I want you to check out this. I'm going to spend a lot of time on verse 1, and we'll read some more after that. But here's what it says, verse 1. It says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. So here Jesus is. And this is kind of a funny thing if you think about it. We'll talk about more about what he's going to call them to do. But this is crazy when you think about this strategy. Jesus is Lord of all. I mean, he is fully God. He has complete capacity. He's able, as we sang about, to do anything. But at the same time, he's fully human at the same time. And so the reality is, while he's on this earth, he was fully God, fully human, and he didn't go out and do all the ministry by himself. In fact, here's the strategy. He tapped 72 other people, he tapped a big crowd of people, and he invested in them, and he sent them out two by two. Why two by two? To encourage them so they're not going alone. But to help them to realize that what they did is to invest and invite and to prepare people to respond to Jesus. He sent them out. And so this is why Jesus did that. This is why he didn't do it all by himself. It's because of the team concept. It's because of the church. That's what we are. We're a team. We're the body of Christ. And so what happened here was Jesus, let me explain it to you like this. If one person goes out and starts investing in one person's life, or three people's lives, or five people's lives, and inviting them to come and see Jesus, that's pretty good. That's, you know, 5 or 6 people whose lives have been impacted. But what does it look like if 72 people, if Jesus can send 72 people who can impact and invest and invite 1 person, 3 people, 5 people in their sphere of influence, then all of a sudden, what ends up happening is you impact so many more people. And the principle is this: addition or multiplication is so much greater than addition. Now, you know this mathematically, and you're like, yeah, I know, I learned that when I was little, except for when you multiply by 0. But the reality is, this is the model Jesus has for us. The way that Jesus transformed the world was through his disciples. He didn't just go out one by one by one by one. He gathered some people and trained them up, and then he sent them out to be the church. He sent them out to be his messengers. And the same is true for what God wants to do in our lives. You know, this is one of the reasons why so many churches experience just status quo. What's the status quo? Well, the status quo in so many different places is just, you know, kind of like an average impact. You know, we have the same people we've always had, and people eventually die, and sometimes somebody shows up, and, you know, that's kind of the status quo, isn't it? You know, and in so many different churches, it's just a status quo impact. And the reality is, we often expect one person or a few people to impact the whole community. But this is not the gospel model. This is what Jesus tells us is this: I want to train you up, and I'm going to send you out so that you invest and you invite people in your sphere of influence. And as all of us do it together, we experience multiplication of an impact for the sake of the kingdom. And so one of the things that Jesus did in his ministry all the time is he had these spheres of influence, as we do too. But they were different levels of influence. At first, and they kind of go from bigger to littler. And so the first one was the crowd. You remember there's all these times when Jesus is teaching and there's a crowd that's gathered. Many times they were wanting their felt needs to be met, as we talked about last week. They were wanting healing. They were wanting food, you know, different things like that. And they were gathered around to see Jesus give us another miracle, you know. They were wanting to see kind of the freak show that was coming to town. But there was something that was attractive about him. And so what did Jesus do to the crowd? He preached to them. He shared about who God is. He served them. He healed them. He loved them really, really well. But the crowd wasn't the main focus of Jesus' ministry. In fact, Jesus loved everybody, but he didn't spend the same amount of time investing in everybody. That's kind of a funny thing. But the reality is, the reason is because he couldn't. If he wanted to have an impact in a lot of people's lives, he realized the importance of investing in a few and sending them out to be the church. And so then out of these crowd, then there was the 120 people who followed Jesus and who wanted to get, you know, wanted to hear from him. There was about 120 that followed him on a regular basis. Then out of the 120, there was the 70, 72 people who he sent out for an even more special purpose. He invested in them even more for the sake of sending them out so that they can prepare the way of the Lord. But out of the 72, we all know, if you've grown up in church, that there was another group of a smaller people that Jesus spent even more time with. And those were the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles. And the reality is, these were people that were chosen not because they were so qualified. In fact, oftentimes, Jesus calls people that are not qualified. So that, because sometimes when we feel so qualified and we serve in a way that we feel like we can do it on our own, it doesn't demonstrate God's power at work. So he called people that were incapable to do what he was calling them to do. And then he empowered them, and people were able to see Jesus in them. And they wanted to come and see even more for themselves. And so Jesus spent 3 years of his life investing in their lives. He had meals with them. He taught them. He prayed for them. They didn't get it so many times, but Jesus stuck with them. And he kept investing in them. And throughout this entire time, he showed them what it's like to be a follower of God. He showed them what it's like to make disciples. Because these are the ones he was about to send out to do the work of the church and to train others to do the same. But out of the 12 disciples, some of you may not know this, there was actually another group. And it was even a smaller group. It was a group that was really the 3. Peter, James, and John. And Peter, James, and John experienced Jesus teaching and doing things that other people didn't. Well, did Jesus just love them more? No. Jesus saw something in them, and he was training them up to be the leaders of the future church, of the church of Jesus Christ. And so what did he do? He allowed them to experience the transfiguration. They were the ones on the mountain that got to see him transfigured in all of his glory, and they were amazed. They were the ones that were in the Garden of Gethsemane that had this special time with Jesus right before he went to the cross. They're praying for him, and they kind of fell asleep a few times. You know, it just shows sometimes they're not good enough, and sometimes we feel the same when God calls us. But he was training them up, not to just make disciples, but to make disciples make disciples. This is what God wants us to be, not just disciples of Jesus, but people who go out and help others to make disciples and help them to make disciples. And this is how the kingdom and our impact for Jesus grows. And so here's what I think this means for you and for me. It means that we love everybody the same. It means that we're to invite everybody to come and see Jesus. Invite everybody. But it means that if you want to have an even greater impact for the sake of the gospel and for Jesus, it happens when you pour your time, invest your time into a smaller group of people. Sometimes it means, and I believe it means, investing your time in people who aren't yet in church, who aren't yet followers of Jesus, and train them up on what it means to follow Jesus in your life. And what happens over time, as we're doing this together, God grows the impact and allows us together to reach our community. Sometimes it means, sometimes that seems funny. Like, why should I just be friends with somebody? Are we trying to trick somebody into following Jesus? No, I'm not trying to trick anybody. The greatest thing, the greatest form of love is to be a friend with somebody and to show them who Jesus is. And so the reality is sometimes it means just being a great friend, sharing your faith story, inviting them to take steps closer to God. And as all of us do that together, we don't experience just addition, but we experience multiplication. And so I want you to think about this for a minute. Who is it in your life? There are people in your spheres of influence. Who is it in your life that might be part of that smaller group of people that God might be prompting you to invest in, to invest your life in? Maybe they're not even yet followers of Jesus. That's great. Who are those people that maybe you can go drink coffee with or have lunch with, invest in them, and maybe start to invite them over time? Here's how the story continues, verse 2 and 3. It says this. It says, Jesus told them, the harvest is plentiful. Now, this is an illustration, and we'll explain it in a minute. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Verse 3, it says this. It says, go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And then it says in verse 8 and 9, it says this. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. And so as we go to people, he's saying, look, spend time with them, eat meals with them and tell them. You don't go around and say the kingdom is here because people are think, you know, you're going to like, you know, medieval times or something, but you invite them to come and see Jesus. And so the reality is this is what Jesus calls us to do as well. But this farming illustration and analogy is kind of hard for many of us in the suburbs to get. Moment of confession for me. I grew up in this area, and I am a Tennessee fan, and there are farms everywhere. But I had never seen a farm in real life until college. It was one of those things I'd read about them, like, you know, read about cows and stuff in books when I was little, but I'd never been on a farm. And so I didn't quite understand what this harvest is plentiful thing is talking about. The harvest season, when it comes to farming, Jesus is using this illustration to talk about people in our spheres of influence. The harvest is a time when the crops that have been planted and watered and prepared for are all of a sudden ready to be gathered. It's like the time to pick them because they're ripe. It's perfect timing. And so Jesus is saying essentially this, look, the harvest is plentiful all around you. There are people in your spheres of influence that I've been working in their lives. I've been investing in their lives. But I'm looking around and realizing that the workers are few. And what happens in farming, if let's say you have 100 acres of land and you've got two people out there picking crops by their hand, what happens after crops are ready to go? Suddenly it comes to a tipping point when all of a sudden, what do? They stop, they're not ripe anymore, and they start to spoil. And Jesus is essentially saying this, I've been working in people in your sphere of influence. The harvest is plentiful. The time is now, and I need workers to go out and to help pick the crops and to invite people to come and see. This is why it's so important for us. So the reality is, as we go, Jesus tells us also that he wants us to be praying for the harvest. What does that mean? He wants us to be praying for people in our sphere of influence and to pray for laborers. Now, here's what we do oftentimes in the church. Yeah, I'll pray for people. God, send somebody else to go out and do the mission of God in the world. We do this oftentimes. God, please send somebody. Please send somebody. In fact, oftentimes, when you get a vision or an idea for something, so many times I've learned as a pastor, oftentimes when you have an idea about something, it's like, hey, somebody should do this. Oftentimes it's like, it sounds like you're being called to that. Oftentimes we point at somebody should be doing this. Jesus, send out laborers in the field. But Jesus is essentially saying, look at ourselves. We're the laborers. Pray that we'll go out in the fields. Pray for other people to join us. Because the mission of God is too great to be accomplished without God and without people who are willing to go out into our spheres of influence. And that's why once you're saved, you're sent. You're sent. And so here at the Fountain, one of the things that I know is God doesn't want us to just have a status quo impact. He doesn't want us to be a status quo church. In fact, what is status quo in so many churches all around the country? So many stats are out there about everything. The church is going down. You know, that's how some people think. The reality is in America or around the world, the church is exploding with growth. They have a commitment to Jesus and to sharing the good news about Jesus. And in so many places, especially Africa, that was once the lost place, they're like booming with growth. But the reality here in America, as we drifted away from the center, as we've lost our connection with God and our passion for the harvest, so many churches, status quo means either flatline growth or churches are declining. That's happening all around America. But I want you to know this. I was in a meeting this past week, and I want you to know some good news for here at the Fountain. It was a district meeting. We're a part of a district with about 100 other churches and a conference with about over 1,000 churches. And within our district, the Fountain is actually in the top 5 in the last few years of the amount of growth that we've seen over each year. So that's something to celebrate. Praise God for that. We're not a status quo church. But I believe God has something even more in store for us. Because the reality is in so many places, it's so what's normal, what's expected is, like I said, well, you know, every once in a while, somebody shows up to church. Some people die. You know, eventually we, you know, maybe some people join the church. But the reality is everything just stays flatline. And what would it look like to be the church that we saw in the book of Acts that was exploding with life? Not because of growth for the sake of growth, but for the sake of the good news of Jesus. People were so attracted to Jesus and they wanted to come and see. And so the thing that I want us to start praying for this community, because the reality is our vision isn't to become status quo. We desire to be the church for this community. That's why we go to where people are, to lead them closer to Jesus. And one of the things I want to encourage you to be praying for, and for us to be praying for as a church, is really the prayer that Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. This is a cool prayer. Here's what he prayed. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." Now, we're good at praying that, right? Bless me, God. Bless me. Bless me. Here's how he continues. Bless me and enlarge my territory. Now, here's what he was really praying here. It was Jabez. Jabez was essentially crying out for this prayer, saying, God, I need you to bless me so that I can go out and I can bless other people. Bless me, God, so that I can be a blessing to other people. And so what if we as a church started praying that prayer? God, I pray that you would bless me. I pray that you would bless our church. And I pray that you would enlarge our territory of influence for the sake of the gospel. I think that's a prayer that Jesus wants to answer. If we're willing to pray it, if we're willing to believe that. In fact, in 1969, I was not alive during then, but I've seen on TV, one of the greatest things that happened in really the history of the world is we were able to do the absolute impossible. You remember what happened? The United States won the space race. And beyond winning a race, we actually put a man on the surface of a moon. Neil Armstrong walked on the surface of a moon. And it was kind of something that blew everybody's mind, because something that was so impossible was possible. And it just reminds us, too, that it's the same thing when God's involved in our life. God makes the impossible possible. But here's what happens. Neil Armstrong comes down out of the landing and he steps on the surface of the moon. And what did he say? One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. But then he did something kind of interesting. Kind of like the early explorers used to do when they would go to a territory. What did he do? He took a flag, the United States flag, and he put it on top of the surface of the moon, essentially saying, we've landed here, and this is our territory. We claim this place. We've landed here. This is our territory. And so what if we as a church kind of did the very same thing in our life? I mean, in the same way, I believe that God wants us not to just come to church and fly the flag of Jesus, not to just lift our banner high as we sing about lift the name of Jesus while we're here at church. But what would it look like if we were to take the flag of faith into the community? What if we were willing to do our part and to place the flag in the center of our community and essentially pray over this area this, God, I pray that you would bless us, that you would bless this church and you would enlarge our territory. We consecrate this area, this territory for you. That's something that God wants to bless. And so then we go out and as laborers and we do our part, investing, inviting, and sharing. Here's what I want you to do. Look, just kind of take a look around just for a second. Just look at the space. Look around you at people around you. We have a lot of opportunity here. There's a lot of opportunity here. I shared with you about a month ago that we have so much room that we can continue growing as a church. And we can take the pipe and drape and push it this way. Take this pipe and drape, push it this way. We can add 3 services if we need to. We've got plenty of room to continue growing. We can move our kids' ministry to the gym. There's all sorts of things we can do. The other thing, too, is you look around, there are some empty seats all around you, you know? Some of you have more, I don't know what that means about you, but, I'm just playing. I just want to make sure y'all are paying attention this morning. No. Anyway, there's some empty seats around you. And the reality is, I think that each chair is more than just plastic and metal. I think each chair represents a person in your sphere of influence and a person in this community who needs the hope and the love of Christ. In fact, the reality is I think that these represent people that God wants you to impact. And as we think about that, I want to give you a challenge this morning as we close out this series. And the challenge is really simple. It's this, the invite 3 challenge. Invite 3 challenge. Now, some of you, once I say invite, you're just like, I'm not very extroverted and I'm kind of scared of talking to people about Jesus. I'm not asking you to talk to people about Jesus. I'm asking you to invite 3. Real simple. And here's what it means. I want to encourage you over the next 4 weeks, over this next series, to invite 3 people or 3 families. So if you go invite a family of 3, like keep inviting more people. But I want to encourage you and challenge you to invite 3. Every single one of us. Think about multiplication. Because the reality is, what we want to do as a church is we want to partner with you as you invite. And in fact, this next series, we've been working on it really, really hard and trying to make it, and it's going to be the easiest series that we've ever done for you to invite people to church. In fact, that's why we want to partner with you in that. In fact, it's a series called Step Right Up. And it's a carnival theme series. It's going to be really, really fun. But more importantly than it being fun, it's going to be very applicable. Every week, I'm going to be talking about different events that you will experience at a carnival. Week 1 is going to be House of Mirrors. And I'm going to talk about image and the image we see in ourselves and the image God sees in us. Then we're going to talk about fear factor. And really, it's about overcoming fear in our life. Everybody can relate to that. How do we deal with fear? Then we'll talk about the twirl-a-whirl. And what do we do when life seems to be spinning out of control? What do we do? And how can God help us? Different stuff like that. But even more than that, we've made it even more simple. Because every single week after church, there's going to be different events every single week that are really, really fun. You can read about them on your program. Next week's Kona Ice for free for anybody. The next week, we're going to have Food Truck Sunday. Then we're going to have S'more Sunday. We're going to do different things each week. But this is not designed just for us. It's designed to help you to invite people in your sphere of influence as an easy way to invite people. So maybe you could say something like this. Hey, Kathy, look, we're starting this new series this next Sunday at church. Step Right Up. It's a carnival series. Look, I know you've got to love snow cones, you know. Why don't you come to church with us? It's going to be a fun series. We're going to play a lot of games too. And free cone ice for everybody. Why don't you come and see? Something as simple as that. And the reality is, as the band comes up, here's what I want to do for you as we kind of close out the series and think about this. I want to take some time to just pray for you and for us to pray for each other, because we're the church together. And the reality is, we want to be praying for each other, because as we go out and as I'm encouraging you, not just me, but as Jesus is encouraging you to invest and invite people in your spheres of influence, the reality is we're all in this together. And so here's what I want to do as kind of a commissioning. This is a little bit different, but what I want to encourage you to do is to just stand up right where you are, and go ahead and stand up right where you are. And what I want to do is I want us to, not for me to just pray over you, but for us to pray over each other. You don't have to touch anybody or anything like that. But here's what I want us to do. I want you to think right now, who are some people in your sphere of influence that God might be calling you to invest in and to invite? Who are some of those people? It may be somebody that, like, oh yeah, I've been thinking about them forever. Or it may be somebody that God just puts on your mind that's like, oh no, not him, not her. But maybe it's unexpected, and that might be the person that God wants you to invest in and to invite. Who are those people? What I want to do is I want to pray for you as you go out, but I also want to pray for those people in your spheres of influence, that God would open the hearts and lives of every single person. And so as we continue this time, let me pray over you and over us. God, thank you. Thank you for the way you love us. Thank you for the way that you've poured into every single one of these people. And God, I thank you for all those who have already found you, who have already experienced life in your name, who are already followers of Jesus. God, I thank you that also there's people in here that are not yet followers of Jesus. We thank you so much that you're here too. And because God, we thank you that this is a place where people can come and can not just experience Jesus, but can grow in Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for every single one of these, your servants here, that as we're sent out together to be the church for the world, God, I pray that as they go out to invest in people's lives and to invite, I pray that you would enable them to do everything you're calling them to do. God, I pray that you would open the doors, open up the opportunities for them to share and for them to invite. And God, as we go into this series, God, even more than just a series, I pray that we would experience an incredible at the end of this, an incredible testimony, the power of multiplication. God, I pray that you would enable us, you would encourage us, you would challenge us, and God, open the hearts and the minds and give us people, put people in our minds that we can invite this week. God, we're in this together. And when we win, when somebody comes, when somebody gets baptized, when somebody comes to new life in you, it's a team win. And so God, help us to rejoice and celebrate. But God, as we go from here, we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us, and that we would do our part by investing and inviting. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.